Where's the one at?
Here we go.
Well, welcome everybody today to Christian Assembly. My name is Alex, and we've joined together to lift up, to magnify the greatest name in the world. His name is salvation. His name is life. His love is joy. It's peace. We celebrate the name and love of Jesus. Because there's no greater love than Jesus. There's no greater love than He gives. There's no greater love that frees us so deep within. Let's sing to get together. There's no greater love. Because there's no greater love than Jesus. There's no greater love than He treasures. Let's sing it together. Today, because of the resurrection of Jesus, the Bible says there's a new and living way that we don't have to live according to the patterns of this world any longer. So you just repeat it after me like this. There is a new life. There is a new life. There is a new way. There is a new way. There is a new hope. There is a new hope. A brand new day. You sing it. A brand new day. The resurrection, it changes everything. Death is defeated, death is defeated. So we now sing, your kingdom will not fail. The darkness won't prevail. Jesus says, oh. There's a new life. There is a new life. changes everything. Death is defeated.
Death is defeated.
So we now sing. Your kingdom, 'cause your kingdom will not fail. The darkness won't prevail. Jesus has overcome. Jesus has overcome. So we sing hallelujah.
Welcome, everybody. I am so glad that you are here. It is a powerful weapon when we worship together. I just felt that in this room, and just being with you and worshiping our God is just a powerful moment. So thank you for leaning in. Thank you for being with us. My name is Marvin. I want to welcome each and every one of you. I'm so glad that you are here. We especially like to say this every week because it's so true. We welcome everyone that might be here for the very first time. And so if you are here and this is your first time or you're checking things out, somebody invited you, you heard some music on the street and you decided to pop in, welcome. We love that you are here. Again, my name is Marvin. We want to welcome you. We want to get to know you. And so the best way that you help us get to know you is by filling out the connection card. That is a card that is right in the seat in front of you. You can grab that, fill that out, drop it in the offering bag as it comes around in a little bit. As a way for us to follow up with you. You can also stop by the New People's Table, and that's located out in our lobby. You can stop by there, and somebody there will greet you and tell you all about our church. And just as a helpful reminder, please, please, please silence your phones when you come into this place so that we can all enjoy worship and we can all enjoy the teaching. We also want to welcome those that might be joining us online. Hello, welcome, wherever you might be experiencing worship with us. So glad that you are with us. Don't silence your phones because then you won't be able to hear me, and that would be weird. But the rest of us, we can silence our phones. That's the best I can do. Our Fusion Communities are 18 to 35-year-old young adult community, and they're hosting their first ever conference on June 10th and 11th. And so if you are of that age or if you know someone of that age, we would have you welcome them into the Revive Conference. Again, that's happening June 10th and 11th. We're going to have worship sessions. They're going to be amazing, powerful teachings, and they're going to be breakout sessions on themes like dating, mental health, sexuality, and so much more. So we invite you to register today. Invite anybody that you might know that's 18 to 35 to be a part of the Fusion Conference. If you are single and over the age of 35, we have a great place for you as well. There's a special event happening this Monday, May 23rd, for the CA Singles community. And there'll be a word that's being shared on how to be proactive and intentional in keeping God at the center of your life to keep us from drifting. What a powerful word that's going to be. So if you are 35 and over and you are single, we invite you to be a part of that Monday, May 23rd. You can RSVP by emailing the email address that is in your bulletin to get some more information. In a few moments, we're going to continue worshiping God by the giving of our tithes and offerings. But before we do, let me read out of the Bible. 1 Chronicles 29, verse 9 says this. The people rejoiced when they gave freely and willingly. And so it is a joy that we get to come to this place and worship God through the giving of our tithes and offerings. Would you pray with me? Lord, this is how we fight our battles. By lifting up our voices in defiant worship, Jesus. We thank you, Father God, for being so generous, for being so good, so faithful all our lives. You have been faithful. We've sung it, Lord, and now we get to worship you in a practical way by the giving of our tithes and offerings. We just pray that you would bless each person that gives, whether it's here in the service or through the app, Father God. Just thank you so much for all the ways that you invest in our lives. And Lord, we are even mindful of those newer people that are going through the partnership class, Lord, and we'll be concluding soon. We just pray that you would bless over 30 people that have concluded that class, Lord. We just ask that you would be with them, bless them, make them feel known and welcome in this place, Lord. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Ushers, you may come.
Well, church family, so good to worship with you. My name is Scott, and it's a Kingdom Weekend where once a month as a church, we take time to highlight how God is moving through our church as we follow him on mission. And did you know that right now there are close to 7,000 people groups that are considered unreached, that have little to no access to the gospel? Think about how many people have yet to hear the good news of the gospel. And so we have a missional value as a church to see people of every nation, every tribe, every language reached with the good news of the gospel. And this weekend, we're highlighting our longtime Kingdom partnership with Peter and Tammy Russell, who lead Wild Hope International in Tanzania. And when I think about dedication to unreached people groups, Peter and Tammy have ministered to the Maasai people for over 30 years. And it's been absolutely incredible that when they first got there, the Maasai people were considered unreached. And over time, they were able to see the Maasai people not only become reached with the gospel, but now they're discipling them to go and reach other unreached people groups. And so we get to hear an exciting update from Wild Hope. Let's check out this video on the side screens.
The land is proving to be a great tool for facilitating discipling of leaders. The cozy cottages and scenic gardens offer a place of beauty and stillness for prayer and revelation. A garden sanctuary to be fortified as leaders. Not to retreat from the world, but a place to receive revelation and redemption for the world. Working with our teammates Solomon and Sarah has been so rewarding. They spend a lot of time on buses and boats as they take the good news far and wide over Tanzania. It's a joy to be working with the leadership team of the Maasai Church, working with disciples of our disciples to the second and third generation, helping them develop outreach strategies for their own people as well as going to the unreached. The dorm opening in April was a joyous occasion. We hosted the first training on instigating and sustaining a discipleship-making movement. Now that the Maasai are reached, we are eager to see them go themselves to the nations.
We've got a hand for what he's doing. You know, it's so incredible to think what God's doing in Tanzania right now. And the fact that Peter and Tammy have been so faithful over 30 years to see now these disciples going and making new disciples and reaching unreached people groups. And I want to tell you just a quick story that highlights the dedication of these leaders to reach unreached people groups. You know, Peter and Tammy, they took two of their Maasai leaders down the Tanzanian coast. And they visited this area that was a closed area in Tanzania. And on this trip, they met with a pastor who shared with them that he was in prison for his faith. And not only was he in prison, but the church was burned down 4 times by radical groups who were opposing Christianity there in that region. And so Peter and Tammy, the leaders, they were encouraging, praying, continuing to be with the believers as they risked their lives to take the gospel to the unreached. So that's just one of many stories of what God's doing there in Tanzania. And if you want to hear more in depth about what God's doing there, Peter and Tammy will actually be here next Sunday, 1 o'clock on May 29th. We're going to be hosting a lunch here at CA where we're going to hear more updates from them and take a time to pray for them. So if you're interested in hearing more, I encourage you to register online so we can get a head count for food. So let's go ahead now and pray for the Russells and the Ministry of Wild Hope. Would you pray with me? Well, God, we thank you so much for your heart for the nations. Your heart for people of every tribe, every language. We thank you for the way that you've reached the Maasai people, that more and more believers, disciples, are coming to know you there in Tanzania. And we pray, Lord, as they take the gospel now to new unreached people groups. Lord, we pray, Holy Spirit, that you would move powerfully in a way only that you can. Would you be with brothers and sisters as they risk their lives to take the good news, as they've experienced the transformation of the gospel? Would you be with them now as you've empowered them on mission to go and share with others as well? Thank you for Peter and Tammy. We pray a blessing over them, even as they come next weekend. Lord, would you just refresh them, encourage us, Lord. We thank you for a long partnership with them as well. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, if you'd like to learn more about the role that you can play in reaching unreached people groups, both here locally in our city, as well as beyond around the world, I want to encourage you to join us for the Reaching Unreached training event we're putting on here Sunday, June 26th. We're going to hear from CA's very own Dr. Greg Livingstone, who founded Frontiers, as well as Dan Torres, who leads a ministry called Crescent Project here in LA. And we're going to focus as well on how we can reach the nations here in Los Angeles, as so many people have come to our city, and what we can do here as well. So I encourage you to find more information. You can register online or in the lobby. Well, church family, I'm so thankful for the way we link arms in God's mission. And ushers, you can come forward now with the blue buckets. We're going to go ahead and give the kingdom offering, which supports all of our missional efforts, both locally and globally. They're having tremendous impact. And so you can give either through the blue buckets or online. Just make sure you click the kingdom offering tab. Thanks so much, church family. And we're thankful for the ways that we link arms in God's mission.
Well, thank you, Scott. And really is amazing what some people endure around the world to be faithful to Jesus. Can you imagine what those churches have faced and the trials that they have been tested by? We don't know how good we have it sometimes. Welcome all of you. My name is Matt. If anybody's visiting, it's such an honor to have you. And I want to welcome anyone who is joining us online as well. We're grateful that God's word is going forth all over the world. I want to let you know, by the way, some exciting news from this past week. On Monday night, there were 182 students and parents and volunteers that gathered here on our campus for an end of the school year Kids Hope party. And Kids Hope is our outreach. It's really our way of serving at-risk kids and their families through Eagle Rock Elementary. And so I want to thank, and I want us to all, in fact, think together, those volunteers that care for those kids week in and week out through the school year. It's so important to celebrate the goodness of God being demonstrated in and around us, especially when we are so often faced with news of the trouble that is in our world. Many of you, I'm sure, saw last weekend the news of the shootings in Buffalo and Orange County and in other places all across our nation. Jesus said, in this world, you will have trouble. But don't lose courage, he said, because he assured us that he has overcome the world. Well, Jesus is absolutely right that in the face of the news of violence and hatred that we saw happen last weekend, that our hearts can be discouraged. So that we're faced with a question, really, is it possible? Is it possible for people like us to offer courage in a troubled world? And Jesus gives a resounding answer, yes. Yes, in a world where all different forms of hatred can cause great trouble, it is possible because of Jesus to live with great courage and to spread great courage in the world around us. And so I want to invite us to just take a moment to pray. To pray for the families and the communities of the victims of those devastating acts of violence last week. And would you pray with me? Lord, we need you. This world needs you. Lord, those communities, those families need you. I ask, Lord, for what only you can do to comfort them, to restore broken hearts, to redeem their devastation. And God, I ask that you do in us what you can do, to compel us to live lives faithful to you, and lives that demonstrate courage in this world, that is based on our hope in who you are and what you have done for us and what you offer to each one of us. Lord, would you make of us people who faithfully endure through trials, and to show to our neighbors, to our city, to our nation, that there is a way that is greater than hate, that is greater than violence, that is greater than the devastation of lost lives. There is something greater, and it is the truth of our God. It is the love of our God that is shown through Jesus Christ. And so, Lord, we ask, minister to those people who have lost loved ones, those people who find themselves in fear and in sadness, in grieving this loss. God, would you be the one who lifts our faces and leads us to live lives that shine your love and truth in this world? We ask for that in Jesus' name. And together, let's say amen. Well, the book of Revelation is a wild and wonderful book. And if it doesn't seem too crazy yet, then just wait, because we're just in chapter 3. Even next week, we're going to be getting into chapter 4, and it'll lead us into a whole new landscape. John has received a revelation from Jesus. And Jesus tells John to write for him letters to 7 churches, representing all churches. And the last letter is addressed to the church in a place called Laodicea. And so let's take a look at what Jesus says to this 7th church. The verses are in your bulletin and will be on the screen as well. In Revelation chapter 3, this is what Jesus tells John to write down. To the angel of the church in Laodicea, write the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the origin of the creation of God. In each one of these little letters, Jesus has a way of introducing himself to the church, telling them who's writing to them. And here we have Jesus saying he's the one who'll have the final word, because he's the one in whom all creation began. And he's provided everything needed in between. And then he says this to them: I know your deeds, that you're neither cold nor hot. I wish you were either one or the other. So because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I'm about to spit you out of my mouth. Can you imagine hearing that from Jesus? You make me sick. Now, you got to know a little bit about Laodicea. In ancient times, people wrote quite a lot about this city. They wrote about the city's wealth and high-priced real estate. Laodicea also had a thriving fashion industry. People all over the Roman world wanted the Laodicean look, which was all about a rare and expensive black wool. And this was also a major medical center that had developed an ointment for eyes that even, they said, had the possibility of curing blindness. So Laodicea was a major city, but it had a big problem. It had no natural water source. High-priced real estate and not enough water. Sound familiar? Kind of like L.A. So water had to be brought in over long distances by aqueducts. They took water from a nearby cold water spring, but there wasn't enough of it, and by the time it got to the city, it wasn't cold anymore. So they took water from a place that had mineral-rich hot springs and lots of them, but by the time it reached the city, that water wasn't hot anymore. And the minerals from those hot springs tasted awful. In fact, people said it'll make you sick. For all its fame and wealth, people said, don't drink the water in Laodicea. So Jesus, you see, is pointing to this need in the city to say to the church, despite all you have, you are still in need. You have a need. And unless Jesus fulfills that need, then what the church is offering in Laodicea isn't anything anybody wants. He says, you say I'm rich. I've acquired wealth and I don't need a thing. That's their problem. But you do not realize that you're wretched, pitiful, poor, blind and naked. Man, lay it on strong, Jesus. So I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire so you can become rich, and white clothes to wear so that you can cover your shameful nakedness, and salve to put on your eyes so you can see them. Isn't that funny? Jesus is talking about all their claims to fame, but he's saying that despite all their claims to fame, all that they already have is nothing compared to what they need from him. Those whom I love, Jesus says, I rebuke and discipline. So be zealous. Literally, burn bright and hot and repent. Here I am. I stand at the door and I'm knocking. Is anyone hearing? Jesus says. If anyone hears my voice, open the door. I'll come in. I'll eat with that person. We'll enter into friendship. We'll enter into a partnership together. To the one who is victorious, I'll give the right to sit with me on my throne. Just as I was victorious and sat down with my Father on his throne. Whoever has ears, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. How does a local church become lukewarm? They stop depending on Jesus. And they only offer the world poor substitutes for what only Jesus can do. As I was thinking about that, I couldn't help, I kept thinking about this scene from the classic film, The Three Amigos. I kept coming back to it in my mind so often that I thought, we gotta just watch it. So take just a minute and look at this.
Lip balm?
I love that. Lip balm? A lukewarm church offers lip balm to a thirsty world. And Jesus' letter to this lukewarm church in Laodicea is Jesus' effort to remind all churches to remember who we are, who he has made us to be, to remember what Jesus has given us and what we have because of Jesus to offer a thirsty and troubled world. Now, some of you might be uncertain what you believe about Jesus. Some of you might not be convinced of the gospel, and you might not think that what Jesus says about the church is relevant to you if you're not part of a church. And I can understand that, but I am so glad that you're here because I believe that what Jesus says about church actually has a lot to do with you. And I'm glad that you get to hear what Jesus says to those of us who are the church. So what does Jesus want a church to know so that it might not become lukewarm? Here's the first thing. Jesus wants us to know who we are, who he is making us to be. The Bible says to anyone who receives him, Jesus gives the right to be a child of God. The Bible says if you've trusted your life to the care and lordship of Jesus, you're a new creation. The old is gone and the new has come. Your new life in Christ is a masterpiece of grace, the Bible says, so that you can do good works that God has prepared for us to know. Jesus wants you to know who you are. In Revelation chapter 1, verse 5 and 6, we're told from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth, to him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood, and has made us to be a kingdom, listen to what he makes us, and priests, to serve his God and Father. To him be glory and power forever and ever. Amen. Did you catch what he is making us? A kingdom and priests. Priests. Now we talk about the kingdom. We talk about the rule and the reign of our sovereign God. And next week we'll talk about God on his throne. But did you know Jesus makes us priests for God? You know, I think one of the most successful schemes of the devil has been to convince people that a priest has to look a certain way. I bet when I say priest, you get an image in your mind. Somebody in a robe, or someone in a church building, or somebody dressed a certain way. We've labeled, characterized, and costumed our concept of a priest until that is the last perception that we have of ourselves. And Tom said in the first week of this series, a priest is someone who talks to God about people and talks to people about God. We got to get the comic book priest image out of our minds, and we've got to hear what Jesus says to us about being priests for God. When we enter into life with God through faith in Jesus, God intends to be found by others through our lives. When people seek you out, when people call on you, when they ask for your help and invite you and welcome you and want time with you. If you are a follower of Jesus Christ, all of those opportunities of people reaching out to you are opportunities for people to find Jesus in you. The best I have to offer, the best I have to offer in any situation is Jesus in me. The best version of myself in any relationship is who Jesus is making me to be. And when I offer to this world what I have received from Jesus, I'm serving God like a priest for him in this world. We have to know who we are. He's making us a kingdom and priests for God. And if that sounds like, oh, that's just a bunch of Bible talk, and you never believe that that applies to you, then I wonder if you are just offering lip balm to a thirsty world when you could be offering so much more. Because Jesus wants to make a whole priesthood of us in service to God. We have to know who we are. And secondly, we have to know what we've been given. What's this priesthood given to accomplish that task? Well, this is something John loves talking about. In fact, he talks about it in his gospel, and he talks about it in the book of Revelation. And I imagine that John heard Jesus talk about this a lot. What we have been given. I think the first time John heard Jesus talk about it, he writes about in the fourth chapter of his gospel. It's a story about a time when Jesus met a woman who was thirsty and had come to get water from a well. And John tells us that Jesus said to the woman, "If you only knew the gift God has for you and who you are speaking to, you would ask me and I would give you living water." Jump down to verse 14, if you could. "But those who drink the water I give," Jesus says to her, "will never be thirsty again. It becomes a fresh, bubbling spring within them, giving them eternal life." Jesus is talking about what we've been given, and he likes to describe it as living water, running water, gushing water. John explains more about it in his seventh chapter of his gospel. He says, tells us Jesus said, "Anyone who believes in me may come and drink. For the scriptures declare, rivers of living water will flow from his heart." When he said living water, he tells us now what this is about. He was speaking of the Spirit, who would be given to everyone believing in him. But the Spirit had not yet been given because Jesus had not yet entered into his glory. That would happen after the resurrection and when Jesus ascended back to the Father and poured out the power of God. Poured out the Spirit of God for us to receive like living water, like gushing water. When Jesus is talking about this living water, he's talking about the Holy Spirit. He's talking about what he gives to all who trust in him. He's talking about the power of God to produce life in us that we cannot produce for ourselves. Like running, gushing water, life from the Spirit of God. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead has been poured out for you and me to receive so that we might accomplish all that God intends to make of us and calls us to do. And John even returns to the same idea, the same truth from Jesus in Revelation chapter 21. We're going to see it again later. He says, "And the one sitting on the throne," that's Jesus, "said, 'Look, I'm making everything new.' And then he said to me, 'Write this down, for what I tell you is trustworthy and true.' And he also said, 'It's finished. I'm the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. And to all who are thirsty, I will give freely from the springs of the water of life.'" Jesus has life for us. He's got the life of his Spirit. Jesus makes us a priesthood in this world and empowers us with the Spirit of God. And if you aren't so sure if you've received the Holy Spirit, Jesus says, then just ask for it. Just ask for it because I want to pour it out on you. Pray and tell Jesus you want to receive all that he offers you and ask him to fill you to overflowing with the Spirit of God. Because we got to know who we are and we got to know what we've been given. And finally, we have to know what we still need. Every day, constantly. Jesus tells this church in Laodicea, they think they're rich. But Jesus says, no. You need to know what you need. Actually, you're poor and wretched, naked and blind. You need gold refined in fire. You need white robes to cover your nakedness and ointment for your blind eyes. All three in contrast to what the Laodiceans already had materially. And all represent something different to Jesus. Gold refined in fire is faith. In fact, Peter uses this same imagery in his epistle. It's faith that has been tested and proven to endure. That's gold refined in fire. The world we live in needs a church that doesn't stop believing what God says is true. The world needs a church that's been tested and tried and found faithful. The world needs a church that keeps praying. Lord, help me to believe. Help us to believe that at-risk kids in Eagle Rock don't have to struggle alone because a kingdom of Jesus made kids hope priests are showing up with the living water of your Spirit. Help us to believe, God, that more unreached people can hear and receive the love of Jesus and then get sent out again to reach more people with the gospel. May God help us believe and keep believing that broken marriages can be restored, that addicts can be set free, that every man and woman who calls on the name of the Lord still has a chance to be made new. This world needs a church with that kind of faith that endures through trial and keeps rising up with enduring faith. That's gold. That's gold refined in fire. And Jesus says, buy from me. We got to say, Lord, help us believe. Give us that faith. Jesus says, we need white robes. Remember the Laodiceans look? Remember the black wool? But Jesus says, no, I've got a new look for you. It's a white robe. Why? Because John sees Jesus in a white robe. And this world needs a church that looks like Jesus. This world needs a church that's not wrapped up in whatever's fashionable, but puts on the righteousness of Jesus Christ. This world needs a church that looks like Jesus. We got to say, Lord, keep making us look like you. And lastly, Jesus says, we need salve for our blind eyes. He's talking about seeing truth. People are searching for truth in this world. People are thirsty for truth. People need a church whose eyes are open to the truth of God's word and are open to the truth of people's need for God's word so that we can stand confidently and say, no, the Spirit of God has opened my eyes to the truth of the Scriptures. And I know what this world needs so that we can offer them the Spirit of God to open their eyes to the truth of God written in His Word. He's made us a kingdom of priests for God, empowered by His Holy Spirit, growing in faith, growing in His holiness, looking more and more like Him, growing in our understanding of truth. Can you imagine at work and at home and in your family, and in your neighborhood and wherever you are, how Jesus wants to empower you to be a priest in this world so that others might find Jesus in what you offer. We got to have more of him so that we can offer more of him to this world in need. Well, before we're done, I want to show you one last little thing, and Alex, come join me. Why seven? We're wrapping up the seventh church, right? Why seven? Why seven churches? Why not eight or 12? And John tells us that when he saw this revelation of Jesus, he saw Jesus standing among seven lamps. And he saw these seven lamps were the seven churches we've been talking about the last few weeks. This is a menorah. You probably have seen this, but it probably makes you think of Hanukkah, doesn't it? Only the Hanukkah menorah has eight of those little lights. This one's got seven. This is what's called a temple menorah. And a larger version of this would have been in the temple in Jerusalem. And it has seven little lamps on it, just like John saw in his vision. And just like John saw Jesus standing among the lamps, John saw Jesus like a priest in the temple, maintaining the lights, making sure those lights on that menorah burn as brightly and as strong and as clean as they possibly can. That's what these letters of the seven churches have been all about. Jesus wanting every church to burn brightly in a dark world, shining with the truth of the gospel and the power of the Spirit. Just like that song, "This Little Light of Mine, I'm going to Let It Shine." And imagine Jesus among us here at Christian Assembly maintaining this lamp. There is so much God is already doing among us that is so full of him, so full of his love, so full of his Spirit. And he's among us, cleaning us and filling us and removing what will no longer burn brightly, so that in this dark and troubled world, we might keep shining ever brighter with the glory of God. Can you say amen to that? Let me pray for us. Lord, we are so grateful for who you are and who that makes us when we come into relationship with you. We do that through Jesus. And if anybody here today has never entered into a relationship with God through faith in Jesus, you can do it right now. You can turn to Jesus and just say to him, I want life with you. Jesus, I want you to lead me in a new way. Forgive me for anything that has stood in the way of that. But today, I believe, I trust you, lead me in a new life. And the rest of us, those of us who walk with him, don't ever forget that he has invited each of us into that life with him. And it's the same faith day in and day out by that same faith that we walk ahead. Some of you tonight here, you need to know who you are. You need to say to the Lord, okay, convince me. Show me how you're making me a priest. Show me the people you put in my life that I can share you with. Some of you need to say to the Lord, I don't know about that living water. I don't know about that Spirit. Lord, fill me. He told us, just ask. Some of you need to say, God, I want to believe a little more. Give me faith I don't have. Lord, I need to be more like you. Would you replace some old rags with a white robe of righteousness to look more like you? And some of you need to say, God, open my eyes, because I'm struggling. I'm looking for truth, but I don't know where to find it. And Lord, I pray that you do open our eyes to the truth of your word. We pray all of this in the name of Jesus. And together we say, amen.